206 here at Kate Radio. And Jonesy, if you want to sing along, go ahead.
Hey, that's the only kind of bumper music that should be for me during the holiday season.
I think it's great. I know it might be an annoying song to some, but it's dogs singing Jingle Bells.
Right. And there's also a guy named Saint Nick that laughs Jingle Bells too, so maybe we'll
is
get
it really?
That next week.
Is it really? Okay.
That's a classic.
Got a little more.
I used to play that taking my kids to school.
All right.
And they'd say, "Play the funny song, Dad. Play the funny song." So
it's a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kate Radio. And Jonesy, how you been? How's the week going?
Hey, going well. I got a quick quiz for you there, Aaron.
Yes.
Name the song that's the flip side of that 45 RPM.
Is there singing cats?
No.
The flip side. A barking yep. dogs.
Yep.
Wow.
I used to have the 45.
Ah, so is it a pretty big hint?
I think so. Old Susanna.
No.
Oh, won't you? Yes. So maybe we'll find. Maybe you could find that one and play it later in the show. But
so it's not even.
I had the four.
It's not even a Christmas song on the back of it.
It's not a Christmas song. That's what made it weird. But anyway, we have some sports to talk. It's a beautiful Tuesday here in Albert Lea.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about basketball. I'm assuming you've been busy the last week, reffing here and there.
Yeah, Thursday or Friday, I did a game in Lisle. It was a really good junior high game between Lisle and. Oh, I don't even remember who they played, but it was a good game. And then I did three games in Blooming Prairie for their Gopher Conference Youth League or Junior League. And at Saturday morning in Blooming, then we came back. We did three games in Albert Lea, and then I did seven games on Sunday in Albert Lea, all part of the Albert Lea Youth Boys Tournament that they had. Very, very successful. 40 teams in. There was some great basketball played. Just hats off to the Boys Boosters Club. Troy Irvine was one of the people in charge of it. Angie Teeter also, I know, had a very big hand in it. So I want to thank those two people. They brought a lot of people to town.
So 40 teams, did they use other gyms besides the high school?
No, they had the auxiliary gym going as a full court, and then they had the main court that we broadcast on split sideways and had two games going in there. So three games. I know on Saturday, I think they started at 8 and finished at 7, and I'm not quite sure of all that. I know there were some 6th graders there, and then on Sunday we had an 8th grade B going on my court, which was court 2, and then there was 6th grade also going on. I think it was just 6th and 8th maybe on Sunday, and we got done our last game, finished about 4. We started at 8, so it was a nice run. You've been to youth tournaments, 18-minute running half makes everything go so smooth and everything's right on the hour. So that's really enjoyable, not only to play but to officiate.
And I'm glad you brought up some of the members of the area that were in charge of the event. It's a big-time fundraiser for the youth programs, but there's so much work. So many volunteers are needed to make some of that big run. So I'm glad you brought up a couple of those that were, you know, key to making things go that weekend or last weekend.
Yeah, you know, and not only that, you've got to have the school involved on your side of it, and you know, custodial staff that's there, and you know, they're cleaning up all the time, and it's just a huge team effort to put this on. And as a parent, as a kind of a traveling basketball player, you had to work a shift at the concession stand.
Okay,
and then if you were a high school player like my son, you had to do two games doing the book or the scoreboard either Saturday or Sunday. So I know Spencer did the first shift on Sunday morning for two games, and he told me he really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, it wasn't on my court, but it was. I know he said he had a good time.
Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kate Radio. And Jonesy, speaking of basketball, we do want to invite everyone out to the high school tonight. It is the home opener for the Albert Lea girls basketball team.
It is a home opener. Unfortunately, we're not going to have three games, though. We're only going to be having two games. No JV tonight, so at 6 o'clock, the C squad is going to be playing.
Okay.
And I think that's a mix of 8th and 9th graders. There might be a 10th grader tossed in there, too. And then at 7:30 will be the varsity. And from what I'm understanding, Friday night when you're doing the game in Otana, there's also not going to be a C game, or no JV game. It will be a C game at 9 I mean, at six, and then varsity to follow because Otana doesn't have a JV team, from what I understand. So the numbers are down on girls basketball. We've been talking about that today a little bit with a couple of my friends and trying to figure out why that's the case. And even talking with Bill Smith, athletic director, Lyle Pacelli last night, he was telling me that's the same case in the Southeast Conference. And their girls basketball numbers are just down right now. I'm not sure if they haven't recovered from COVID or what it is, but I'm sorry to see that because I think it's great when you have a C game and a ninth and a JV game and then a varsity.
And when you're talking about a school district the size of Owatonna not having a JV program, that makes you go, what happened? Because you would think, I mean, there's a lot of kids that go to Owatonna High School.
Yeah, and I don't know, some of these schools like Albert Lee Boys Basketball, we have a 9A, 9B, B squad this year, and then a JV and a varsity. So, you know, Owatonna probably has a B squad, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Without any knowledge on it, but I'm guessing that may be the case. There's a big difference there. So,
now, Jonesy, did you get a chance to go out to Red Wing last week, I should say, for their opener?
I did. Yep. Okay. I was able to ride along with the Kenneth family and watch the game. And I think because of injuries and different things, we only had 12 or 13 girls that were there available for the JV and the varsity. And then when the B squad game or ninth grade game ended, some of those girls floated over and played the second half of the B game. But it was a struggle. We got beat, I think it was 93-43 in the varsity game. I think the girls found out that a lot of them hadn't played a lot of varsity minutes other than Kendall Kennis and Nevaeh Wachholz, and it's a lot faster at the varsity level. And I think that Coach Schultz probably made some adjustments to practices this week to get the kids to play a little bit stronger, a little bit faster. And that's a great thing about you playing your openers. You played against each other in practice, and we scrimmaged against Lyle Pacelli, but nothing like getting out there on a Friday night and getting after it in the Big Nine. And, you know, we did okay against Lyle Pacelli, but they turned around and got beat. I think it was 83-8 by Grand Meadow in their opener. And it's going to be a fun season to watch. The kids really like their new coach from what I'm hearing from my daughter. And we'll look forward to Rochester Mayo tonight. They still have one Meister, the younger Meister girl, coming up. The other two Twin Towers they had last year are off to play college ball. So probably not as strong of an opponent tonight, but nevertheless, it's going to be a good one.
And again, like Jonesy mentioned, we'll be in Owatonna coming up on Friday night for Albert Lee girls basketball right here on KATE. The boys team, they're going to be at home on Friday night against Owatonna. And talking with the head coach, Harrison Cates, I think he said Owatonna graduated all five of their starters from last year, or at least four of their five starters, but we know year after year, Owatonna, they're a pretty good boys basketball program, so a very good team will be in town for boys basketball on Friday.
Yeah, I think, Aaron, in my Big Nine officiating of the JV or ninth grade B games, whatever I do, Owatonna by far is the most aggressive team that we officiate. I know when I go into those games, I have to bring my quickest whistle because those guys, they do a lot of top of the key, just a lot of reaching, a lot of hand, a lot of, I want to call it the AAU style basketball, if I may. But you really have to be calling that hand checking early if you want to get it under control, because they're so aggressive on D. And if you don't match up with that, it can make for a long night when you play Owatonna. And I'm sure we'll see that again Friday for the boys.
Again, girls basketball at home tonight, boys basketball at home coming up on Friday. Tom Jones with us here on a Tom Jones Tuesday. And the winter meetings, Jonesy, are going on for Major League Baseball. And a report came out yesterday from Sports Illustrated that Luis Arraez, that according to sources, that the Twins would be willing to trade him for an ace pitcher. You being the big-time Twins fan that you are, Jonesy, if there was a number one ace, one of those guys that could shut down another team every 5 days, would you be willing to part with Luis Arraez to get that done?
Not a chance. He's slowly becoming the biggest fan favorite of Twins fans. And a lot of people are complaining about the Twins and their lack of movement so far in the offseason. And I mean, use the word ace, Aaron. I mean, how many true aces are there in the American League? Maybe 10.
Yeah.
There's nobody that's going to trade an ace pitcher to the Twins. And I'm sorry, but that how many pitchers want to come to Minnesota knowing you're going to get an eight, and especially an ace that's going to get pulled after five innings and 65, 75 pitches. I mean, can you imagine a Justin Verlander or somebody like that wanting to do that? It just isn't going to happen.
Yeah, Verlander signing like a $40-plus million-a-year deal for 2 years.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
He did, huh? Who do you go to?
He's with the New York Mets.
Wow, Mets. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, there was a fake quote. It was a fake quote. I had to reread it. It said, Justin Verlander said, I wanted to go someplace where there wasn't any pressure to play in October. Joking that the Mets never play in October. But
yeah, interesting.
So he's going to be their ace. DeGrom, who was the ace of the Mets, he went to a Texas. And then Trey Turner, second baseman or shortstop for the Dodgers, went to the Phillies, like an 11-year deal, $300 million, something like that. Some of the big...
I guess I need to get on my computer. I've missed all this today, so I'll be checking that out here when we're done with the show. But yeah, interesting what's going on there. And it's becoming the big city markets and the rich teams are making the big moves, and the Milwaukees and the Twins and some of those are just not going to be able to compete again, unfortunately. And you have to build from the base, and I think we had a really good, strong squad at Wichita this last summer for the Twins, and hopefully that they're going to be able to do some stuff. We've got the Kenta Maeda coming back, and he was a very good pitcher for the Twins 2 years ago, going through the Tommy John surgery that he did, and he'll get a lot of innings this year. And but we'll look forward to you got to go with what you're dealt with, and hopefully the Twins can do something that makes the fans interested in coming to the games and be competitive.
One more Twins note. I guess they had dinner last night with Carlos Correa. I guess, executives with the Twins, Xander Bogaerts and Carlos Rodon were all sitting at the table with, I guess, Twins execs. So, I mean, I still think Carlos Correa is coming back. I really think he wants to come back. His agent's just going to make sure he gets paid enough to stay in Minnesota.
Scott Boros is his agent, so that's always an interesting situation. And I think Bogaerts would be a good addition, too, to the Twins if they can figure out a way to get him. But yeah, you said it the best, though. In our first part of this conversation, we need some starting pitching.
Carlos Rodon, watched him for many, many years with the White Sox. And when he wasn't hurt, he's one of the best lefties in the league. So that would be a good get. Again, they just had dinner. Nobody signed with the Minnesota Twins last night. But, of course, we'll keep you updated. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Well, I think one thing, if we can briefly talk about, I didn't get to go to the game, but I heard it was a heck of a lot of fun Saturday night at the arena when they had the alumni 25th anniversary of the puck dropping for the girls in November of 97 against John Marshall. And a lot of girls back, a lot of young ladies or women, I guess I want to call it now, back to the city arena for that game. And Albert Lee dropped an 8-0 shellacking of Mayo at home and in front of a large crowd. And I just want to say, for the ones that are still around that might be listening, way to go. And for the ones that came to town, I think it was a great night for all of them involved. And girls hockey, they had a tough one last night from what I understand, but they got a strong squad, and it should be fun to watch them again.
They're back in action tonight against Minnesota River in Le Sueur. We'll have that game for you, pregame at 7, faceoff at 7:15. And what's really cool is that now there are banners out there at Roy Nystrom Arena. They got the banner for being the section champions last year and for being a state participant, so you love when there's banners hanging up at your barn.
No doubt. Hey, that's one last thing. Let's talk a little bit about the Otana game on Friday. We've got a lot of seniors on this basketball team, and I'm really anxious. I've, of course, watching my son being a junior, watching this group and to see how they develop. We play a few games before Christmas, and we're in a two-night St. Charles tournament, and so it'll be fun to see how we do over there. And I think this team could be very, very good. It's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out and as the season goes on. And anytime you can get that many seniors together in a team sport, I think you have a chance to have some good success. And lastly, I guess one thing I want to talk about too, Aaron, and that's the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yes.
You and I are both baseball fanatics, and I would pretty much pay anything to be able to be in New York that night, to be in Yankee Stadium. And unfortunately, it's not the original Yankee Stadium, but I know my son's begging me to take him out there, but he's got that St. Charles tournament to go to. And I would just love, though, to go watch the Gophers out there. Even take a day of, you know, I think they have charters out there. You fly out in the morning and fly back at night. But that should be a lot of fun to watch that game. Syracuse right there, I'm sure, is brought in there because they're going to draw fans to that stadium. Not everybody wants to go watch a baseball or a football game when it's probably going to be 25, 30 degrees in New York that day. But I'm excited for the Gophers to play in that bowl.
Mike Grimm, the voice of Gopher Sports, was on yesterday afternoon, and Mike was saying it's an opportunity for Minnesota fans, again, to go watch a game at Yankee Stadium, but also, you know, if you have a few extra days to experience the holidays out in New York City, which we know New York City with Rockefeller Plaza, they have the skating, they got the big Christmas tree, that I'm sure it would be a lot of fun just being in New York City for the holidays.
You know, when I was a senior in college, Aaron, there was a trip out there through the College of Business at Mankato State. And I told my dad about it, and he couldn't write the check quick enough because he said that this is something you need to experience. And we were out there the second week, I believe, of December of 1983. And I got to see a Rockettes Christmas show and the Rockefeller Center tree. And, you know, it was just amazing to see all that stuff. I remember we went into the big Macy's department store downtown New York. We actually stayed right very close to Grand Central Station and went to a game at the Madison Square Garden and went up the World Trade Center, did all the things you'd ever want to do in New York. And one of the greatest memories of my life to be able to do that.
And again, the other options for the Gophers was the Duke Mayo Bowl in North Carolina and the Music City Bowl in Nashville, which would have been, you know, okay. Nashville, I'm sure, for the holidays is pretty cool as well. Iowa got that bid. And I guess Maryland, according to Mike Grimm yesterday, Maryland had played in the Pinstripe Bowl last year, so they could not play in it this year. So the Gophers were kind of, you know, you got to take this bowl game because they're trying to rotate as many teams through the Pinstripe Bowl as possible. Wisconsin's played out there. Rutgers has played there. I think Iowa's played out there. So it's kind of, you know, just the Gophers turning the rotation to play in New York City.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if the marketing gurus for the U of M come up with a pinstripe maroon and gold football jersey for that game. And, but yeah, it's going to be exciting. I think it's the 29th. I don't know what time of the day, or maybe they haven't even determined that yet.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock
in
the afternoon.
Okay. Yep. Oh, great. I take an afternoon off of work and go to one of our local sports bars and watch it, I guess. But, it should be a lot of fun, and you said it best, though, for anybody that's ever been in New York, a chance to go out there and watch it and do some things in the big city, too.
And if you don't get a chance to go out there, of course, we'll have the game for you right here on Kate, your home for Gopher Athletics. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great, Aaron. Hey, everybody, have a great week. Thank you very much.